Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
And there Title of this sermon is Shadow of the Savior, and we're going to be starting in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. This morning, I can't wait to have communion with you. I think it's going to be a very intimate and beautiful time. Before we do that, I just want to remember our Lord and Savior and the privilege that we have. For thousands of years, people looked ahead and heard about a coming Savior, about the promised one. Last year, we had this event that took place. We had the opportunity to experience a solar eclipse. We were in the path of totality here, right? And for about 4 minutes, we got to experience that. During that time, the moon passed in front of the sun and blocked portions of it until it blocked it completely. Do you remember how eerie that time was and how, I don't know, it was just different, right? If you had glasses, you could watch it. You could see evidence of the sun behind the moon, but for that short period of time, you couldn't see the sun. We were completely in the shadow. We live today in the sun, but for thousands of years, people lived in the shadow of our Savior. If you read the Old Testament, you can see glimpses, shadows of Jesus Christ, shadows of the things to come. And I just want to go through those because I think as we look at those, we can learn more about our Lord and Savior and appreciate Him. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4 says this, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they have not stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." The law was just a shadow. It couldn't accomplish what was to come. It couldn't cleanse us once and for all. It couldn't take away our guilt, right? It was just a shadow of the sacrifice that was to come. It could only cover our sin. If you go back to the beginning of the creation account, the story, right? God creates Adam and Eve. They live in a world without sin. Do you remember they had a face-to-face relationship? They would walk with God in the garden that He put them in. He gives them one rule, right? And we know that they ignored it. They chose to break it. And sin rushed in like a tidal wave and filled this whole earth, right? What did they do? They instantly tried to hide. They tried to cover themselves, cover their shame. They couldn't, though. Why? Hebrews 9:22 tells us, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with what? Fig leaves, right? But God says that won't work, and so God killed an animal and uses its skin to cover their shame, right? Blood had to be spilled. Something had to die. And two things we learn right out of the gate from the story of creation is that when we sin, we want to hide, right? We want to run. We want to try to cover it up, but it requires a sacrifice. Sin brings death. A shadow of what is to come. Later on, there's a man named Abraham, right? He has a son named Isaac, and God tells him the unthinkable. Take your only son up a mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham obeys. He doesn't know that it's just a test, right? So he brings his son up that mountain, binds him, and pulls back that knife and is getting ready to kill him. And the Lord from heaven calls down to him. Genesis 22, verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham calls that place, "The Lord will provide." A shadow, if you will. Because this is the same location that nearly 2,000 years later, Jesus would be sacrificed on a cross for us. The Lord provided. Another shadow, right? The shadow continues in Leviticus 16. God gives the Israelites the Day of Atonement. On this day, the Israelites would offer sacrifices for all the sins of the nation that occurred that year. The high priest would take a bull and sacrifice it for his sins, and then he would take two goats, Leviticus 16:5. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering. Verse 7, then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Verse 15, he shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanliness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. Verse 20, then when Aaron had finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat, the other goat, right? He is to lay both hands on its head and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all the sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. For over 1,000 years, every single year, they came together and did this. Two goats. One would be chosen by lot and slaughtered, his blood sprinkled on the atonement covering in the Holy of Holies. And the other would have the sins of the nation cast on its head, confessed on it, and it would be sent out into the wilderness. Over and over they did this, a shadow pointing to the Son of God when he would come. Jesus would come and offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. His blood would be shed to atone for us. He would also, though, take upon himself the sins of the world, right? He bore those. He was rejected, and he was sent away. Everything that was done on the days of atonement was a shadow of what was to come with Jesus. He was, he is, our substitute. Matthew 26, verse 2, Jesus is with his disciples and he tells them, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. He says this during Passover week, obviously, another feast that coincides with where we're at today. During Passover, they celebrated the Exodus, right? God called Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let his people go. Pharaoh says no, and God sends 10 plagues to show his power. And the last of these plagues, the firstborn son of everyone in the land, would die unless the blood was applied. A shadow. A son must die unless you take the blood of a spotless lamb, sacrifice it, and mark your door with it. You then would be covered, and the angel of death would pass over. The judgment of God would pass over your house. You ever wonder why they covered the doorframe? The Israelites were obviously had spent many years living in this land of Egypt, and they started to become and take on the practices of the Egyptians. The Egyptians believed in an afterlife. So they constructed some things out of temporary materials, like their houses. They were made out of mud bricks because they knew their houses were only temporary. But they would construct their temples out of eternal materials, out of stone, because they thought those would last forever. The only exception was with their house, they would make their door frames out of stone. They did this because there were 5 parts of a human being that they believed if these things lived on, then they would live on in the afterlife. If they didn't live on, then they would cease to exist. One of those parts was their body. That's why Egyptians took such meticulous care and would mummify people. Their body had to live on if they were to continue in the afterlife. The other thing was their name. Their names had to live on so that they could. So royalty, the pharaohs used to set these monuments up and carve their name all over the places in their tombs where they would die, all over these monuments so that they would live on. Now, the average person couldn't afford to build a monument, so instead, when they built their house, they would carve their names in their stone doorframes. They would etch their names in hope of living for eternity. The Israelites built houses themselves and took on those practices. So literally, when they applied the blood to the door frame, they would have put that blood over their names, right? Their names would have been covered in the blood of the Lamb, and they would have been saved from God's judgment. A shadow. A shadow of the substitutionary atonement. The lamb dies so that you don't have to. Just like the goat dies for the sins of the nation so that you don't have to. Just like in the Garden of Eden, an animal died so that Adam and Eve could be covered. In this Passover celebration, the Passover lamb would be sacrificed or selected on the 10th day of Nisan. That's the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. On that day, they would select the lamb, and on that day, Jesus came riding on a donkey, to which the people cried out, "Hosanna, save us." A shadow. Hundreds of years before it happened, Zechariah wrote this, Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem, see, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." A donkey, another shadow, right? Do you know that all donkeys have a cross on their back? Every one. Some of these donkeys you can see easier than others, depending on the color of their fur. But all donkeys. Jesus rode in on a cross while the people shouted, "Save us." A shadow, right? The day that the Passover lamb would be sacrificed was the same day that Jesus was crucified. One sacrifice for all sins. A lamb couldn't do it. A lamb was just a shadow, right? And wasn't able to take away the sins once and for all. You see, in order to take away all sins, there had to be two criteria met. The sacrifice would have to be perfect, without spot, without blemish, without blame, right? Without sin, in order to atone for sin. And it would have to be eternal to cover all the sins for all eternity. There's only one person, one being that could met that requirement. And that was Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. How do we know he was innocent? Well, he was tried 6 times on the night that he was captured before he would be crucified. There was Ananias, Caiaphas, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, Herod, and then Pilate. Again, 6 trials throughout the evening, and they came back and said they could find no fault. Matthew 27:11. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" he asked the governor. Asked the governor, "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Who is Barabbas? A murderer. Right? Who sought the overthrow of the Roman government, a criminal. Did you catch his full name? Barabbas would have been like Bar Abba. Bar meaning son. What does Abba mean? Father. So his name was Son of the Father. Did you catch his first name? Jesus. Jesus, Son of the Father. That's why Pilate refers to our Jesus as the one who is called the Messiah. There are two Jesuses, right? What irony. Two goats, remember? One to be slaughtered, one to be set free. Pilate casts a lot, doesn't he? He asks the crowd, which Jesus? Crucify this Jesus, the Messiah. Set Jesus Barabbas free. Could you imagine being him? We don't have to imagine because we are him, right? We're the guilty ones. We're the ones deserving of death. We're the ones deserving to face judgment. We're the ones that deserve that, but we're the ones set free. Set free like Barabbas with a record that's wiped completely clean. This is us. But at what cost? Crucify him. One to be released, the other to be sacrificed. Jesus the Christ traded place with us and took the punishment we all deserve. A just God has to require payment for sin. Otherwise, he's not just. But a loving God pays the price of that sin. Every sin requires payment. Every sin requires blood. Every sin leads to death. Make no mistake. And our Savior paid that price for us. But we don't live in the shadow. We live in the sun. Hebrews 9:12. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Amen? That is our Savior, the one who offered himself for us, the one who took our place, the one who we remember and give praise to for eternity for what he did on the cross. This is the one that we remember with communion. Can I invite you up to take the elements? Would you come and grab those and hold on to them, and then we'll partake of them together. On that cross, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Hard to understand why I would say that until you realize he was quoting scripture. Psalm 22, a shadow, written long before. Listen to this. Would you just close your eyes while I read it? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the cries of anguish. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them. They cast lots for my garments." You can open your eyes. Today, I pray we are reminded that we were all dead in our sins. That's what our sins deserved. And we needed a Savior to take our place. And He did just that. And it was a tremendous price to pay, right? We were Barabbas. He died so that we could be set free. Our sins wiped. A completely wiped record. Today, we celebrate that in this season. We're going to talk in the next service more about the resurrection, but today, right now, would you just give Him the glory and honor that He deserves? Today, we don't live in the shadows, right? We don't have a shadow of the good things to come. We don't have to offer a sacrifice continually, year after year. We don't have to wait to be cleansed once and for all. We no longer today have to bear the guilt and shame that our sins deserve, because we have a Savior that went to the cross and bore all that for us. Today, we cry out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us." This juice is a sign of a covenant, a new covenant, in which we in faith entrust ourselves to Him and ask Him to save us. A sign of a covenant where we believe that our Savior, our Lord, did die on a cross for us. And only by that sacrifice can we be set free. If that is what you proclaim, then drink with me. Father, we thank You for today. Lord, we thank You for, again, what this day represents. Lord, we can't wait to talk more about the resurrection. But right now, we remember the price that was paid for us. Father, we give You all honor and glory and thanks for coming to this world, for being willing to die for us. We thank You for making a way, the only way, so that we could be reunited with the God of the universe. Lord, be glorified in all that we do, Lord. Father, would You bless this time of fellowship that we're about to enter into? Would You bless this food to the nourishment of our body, Lord? Again, we thank You and love You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen.